Tristan Winder, George Lobby, glad to be with you as we welcome in our good friend and frequent guest here on Mugs of the Morning, Randy Sainer. Randy, how are you?
Good. It's going to be a warm day today. Tomorrow's supposed to be cool. I'll have the beef lab out at Okalala tomorrow, so I'm going to have a coat for that.
You're going to have it at least in the morning. But we're kind of in that time of the year where you might need a light jacket in the morning, but then late morning, you definitely want to shed it. Might even in the afternoon hours think about putting on some shorts and flip-flops even, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it is.
Especially today.
Yeah, it's supposed to be hot today. So.
It's going to be hot, but we're used to it by now, too.
Yeah, we've had it all year, so
Just old hat.
Yep, we're battle-tested now at least. So, Randy, we know that harvest is in full swing here for a lot of our producers throughout the area. So a bit of a down portion, you could say, for some of our ranchers and other producers.
It's going to be the corn's drying down fast. Mm-hmm. I've heard, like, they went in one day, it was 20, next day it was 17, next day it was 15. So, depending on where you're at, some of the corn that's planted later, will take a little longer. And you can tell the later planted corn is still pretty green. But, yeah, I think we'll have an early harvest this year if things don't change the way the weather is. And they're talking a pretty hot fall, according to the weather people, if they're right. So I think we'll probably get out harvest early. We've already seen a lot of high moisture corn going out. Silage is done. The thing about it is this dry land corn, people need to be careful of nitrates when they put their cattle in. That's the one thing I just want to remind people of.
The dry land corn really suffered this year, especially here out further west.
Yeah. You can see. I had a guy, and this was a Polk, which my nephew has a farm there. He was getting like 25 bushels the acre in some of the spots of his dry land. So,
my goodness.
So, and I've heard that from here too. So,
darn it.
I've heard some people that don't have anything, but it's a little farther south and west. But.
Yeah, kind of that Grant area, Imperial. They're really dry.
You mean the desert of Nebraska? Yeah. I mean, it was.
It has.
We thought it was dry
here,
but Imperial, it's like so much worse. It's like you feel like you're driving into a desert.
Well, that southwest area of Nebraska, that southwest corner, has been really hit hard, and. I get a lot of calls on rations for cattle because they're out of pasture and stuff. And pasture is another issue for ranchers. They're running out. So we're hoping we get the corn out early so they can get the corn, cows in the corn stocks.
Yep. So. Are cows able to go out on stocks if that dry land corn wasn't as harvestable? Or are they still able? I mean, obviously, they're still able to go out, but do they get as much?
No, it's not going to last them as long because it depends on the bushels. We have a formula for that. So if there's so many bushels, then the cow will stay on there so long. So what we're going to find out is we're going to run the corn stocks fast too, because we just don't have the corn out there.
I mean, there's some danger of toxicity too, right?
Yeah.
And stressed dry land.
Yeah, the nitrates. The big thing is nitrates we worry about. In siling that corn helps. It drops the nitrates in half, but it's still, you need to make sure you check it before you put. I recommend to my nephew to check it before he puts the cows out there, because you don't want a dead cow you don't want cows aborting because of nitrates.
Right.
So.
Make a bad situation disastrous.
Yeah. So just be prudent and try to make sure you check it.
unique opportunity for some of those producers that are ranchers but not in the cattle business of ranching, Randy.
Yeah, so we have a sheep and goat program. It's called the Sheep and Goat Extravaganza here in North Platte on the 24th, 25th. We will have seminars for goat producers. We'll have seminars for sheep producers. We have a big show. We have like 80 goats coming to a boar goat show. So you'll see some of the best goats in the country. That's on Sunday. And then Saturday we have the sale goats show. That they'll show their goats there. We have Sue Hobby coming in from California. She raises boars. It's Boars by Hobby. She's got a lot of champions. Young lady that's really got some unique breeding things. She's going to talk about her breeding program and how she developed it, so producers can kind of learn from her.
From California.
I have Rob Zielinski coming from Hubbard Feeds. He's a small ruminant specialist for them, and he's going to talk both for the goat producers and the sheep producers as far as nutrition for before and after kidding, lambing. And then we have one, Elliot Dennis is coming from UNL. He did a study on parasite management. That's a big issue with small ruminants. Mm-hmm. And he's going to talk about the cost of parasite management and what he found out in his research there. So I think we've got a great lineup. We're going to have a little judging contest, wool judging contest, sheep and goat judging contest. So,
chance to really learn about them
and
develop your knowledge even further.
Yeah, and we have a lot of cattle producers that are going into sheep or goats as an add-on.
Why is that?
Well, you can add a ewe or goat or doe per cow and not really change your stocking rate because they eat about... So ewes eat about 65% the same plants as a cow. So that other 35-40%... the cows won't eat anyway, so they kind of take care of that. So that's why we can add that you per program. So you can sell more meat off the same farm, so it makes you a little more efficient.
Yeah, and they're eating the same plant but a different portion of the plant. They're getting closer to the root is what you're saying, essentially?
Well, they're actually going to eat different plants somewhat.
Okay.
They'll eat some grasses, so they'll eat some of the same. But what allows us to do that is those other plants they eat, like the forbs. They like a lot of the weeds and the broadleaf things that cows won't eat. That they don't like, sheep will eat them. Same with goats. They like the brush. So if you got a lot of brush, goats are really good. Sheep are probably better for forbs and weeds.
Good way to kind of manage your try to keep your weeds and brush down too.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I was at a place one time and it just looked like a park. And I said, "So what did you do to make it look this way?" And they said that we used goats. We had a lot of brush and we started using goats and that took away the brush. Yeah. So
interesting.
It can work.
So you don't hear a ton about these, but I think you said this is one of your bigger shows, right?
Yeah. This is kind of our program for the university and for sheep and goat producers in the state. We have others. We have some lambing and kidding conferences too, but this is kind of our finale for everybody,
the big one.
It's here in North Platte, which is kind of we'll have people from Kansas, Nebraska, Colorado, maybe South Dakota showing goats at our show. And we're going to have about 15 sheep breeds. So if you're interested in looking at different breeds of sheep, you can come and look at our hall of breeds.
What's the price to attend, Randy?
So it's $35 if you go to the seminar for the goats, and it's $35.40 for the sheep. And if you show up that day, it's $10 more. It's $45 and
it's not too bad.
No.
The advanced registration is a little, you can save some money.
Yeah. If they still let us know, we'll still save them money. But that day we can't. And the challenge we do that is because finding enough food, a lot of people come late, then that kind of keeps us so we don't have to worry about as much food. And we'll get I usually get about 10% walk-ins.
Oh, cool.
So
not bad. Good opportunity, too, if folks have been thinking about diversifying a little bit and bringing in some sheep, maybe a little bit of goat, too. Great opportunity to learn a little bit more.
Yeah, they could have 2 days of learning.
Yeah.
Because we have both species there, and we're going to talk a little bit about handling. I've got our beef quality assurance guy coming in to talk about handling for sheep and goats. Jesse Fulton, they have sheep too out west. And
you're going to meet other players in the game, so to speak, too, and pick their brains respectively. So.
Yeah, the nice thing is you have a lot of contact with other sheep and goat producers. And if you're a small ruminant guy, that's really important because there's not a lot of knowledge out there on sheep and goats. And so working with somebody else that's got those is going to really help you with your operation.
Sure.
So that's coming up this weekend.
Yes.
And
yes.
How do people register in advance?
So they can call our office. They can get on our website. We have a registration form on our website. Or they can just call us and let us know. We like to have them fill out the forms and pay so they're committed to come and so they don't know. But we have a few little fallout. But that's how. So there's a form online. You can go to llm.unl.edu or call us and we can get you the right place to fill out the form and you can just fax it back to us. You can fill it out and send it right back email too.
Anything else you'd like to add this morning, Randy?
Just that hang in there. Hopefully we're gonna get some rain and plan on attending the Goat Extravaganza. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a Saturday-Sunday deal. It's the biggest thing we've ever tried. Be patient with us because I hope I have enough volunteers to help us.
So. Randy?
How many years have you been doing this?
For the Goat Seminar, it's been like 30, 30 or 40 right? years.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But this is your biggest show? Is that
yep.
what you're saying?
Yeah, one of the biggest with both sheep and goats. They have other goat shows around the state of Nebraska, but this is going to be one of the bigger ones. This is bigger than State Fair.
Oh, wow.
Is what they told me. We're going to have more goats at our show than State Fair has.
It's interesting. Awesome. That business is growing a little bit, it sounds like, and that's interesting for these times.
Yeah, the goat business continues to grow and change, and we have a lot of new people come in all the time, but it is a growing industry, and as well as sheep in Nebraska, because, you know, we have the packing plant here just west of us in Colorado. The challenge right now is sheep prices are pretty low.
Are they?
Yeah, one of the owners of one of the packing plant owns a lot of lambs, and they kind of overfed them. So when you know what happens when you overfeed animals, you get a lot of meat on the market, and it reduced price. The goats are down a little too now. This is not the ideal time for selling them, but you know they've been as high as 4.5 a pound this year. Mm. I think they're running about 250, 275 right now.
Interesting. Do drought conditions impact the market a little bit for that, too?
That has, both sheep and goats. Texas has had to sell a lot of goats. So if you think about it, they put a lot on the market there. And so, you know, that's part of the issue we're facing. It's drought plus people feeding their lambs too big. And the trouble is with sheep, too, is most, like 80% are lambed at the same time of the year.
Sure.
Kind of a little bit like cattle. So we're trying to get them stretched out so people lamb different times. And, of course, they're seasonal breeders, so there's some things you have to do to change that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. But,
well, hope you have a great weekend. And,
me too. Hopefully I won't be wore out by the end of it.
Randy, appreciate the time. Best of luck to you this weekend.
Thank you.